echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a business podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations innovate and grow value in a digital world. Episode 45, Verizon's Cloud Transformation Journey with FinOps. In this episode, we will look at how Verizon has been at the forefront of cloud financial management to become one of the leading innovators in the telco industry. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. It's 2022, and I just wanted to thank all of you for listening and supporting the show. We are growing, and it's exciting, and we have an incredible schedule of shows lined up with industry experts, thought leaders, and customers who will be sharing their struggles and triumphs with their journey in the cloud. And today's episode is no exception. Joining me today is Eric Lamb and Bruce Warner, both part of our financial operations and cloud value and transformation advisory team. Welcome, Eric and Bruce. Would you mind both sharing a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, Chris. Hello, everyone. As Chris mentioned, my name is Eric Lamb, and I lead our Google Cloud FinOps practice. Our mission is to help our customers accelerate their journey to cloud by unlocking business value through Google Cloud to solve their transformation and business challenges. Prior to Google, I spent the last 15 years in management consulting, where I was leading a global cloud financial management team, driving enterprise scale transformations, and also focused on cloud economics and business value case creations.
Hey, Chris. My name is Bruce Warner. Delighted to be here with you today. I'm a member of the Google Cloud Value and Transformation Advisory. I partner with Eric to help build our cloud FinOps practice. I also support our Office of the CFO practice, where we help finance leaders understand the P&L impacts from cloud migration, such as impacts to EBITDA and potential cloud capitalization strategies. Prior to my current avocation in cloud economics, I spent 30 years in IT asset financing.
And that's probably a great place for us to start. And so for our listeners who may be new to this topic, Bruce, could you explain a little bit about what FinOps is?
I'd be glad to, Chris. So FinOps is a relatively new discipline. It brings together organizational governance, process, and tooling to do a number of things. One, to establish cost visibility, to be able to predict cloud costs, and to create a set of controls around managing cloud costs. For most businesses, it also represents a significant cultural transformation. So I like to think of cloud technology as a democratization of technology. It puts amazing and powerful technology in the hands of developers to innovate their businesses. Cloud FinOps represents the democratization of the financial accountability around this amazing technology.
And Eric, if we take that conversation and put it around cloud transformation and innovation, why is FinOps so critical to understand?
This is a great question, Chris. You know, putting this in the context of cloud transformations and innovations, you know, I strongly believe organizations require new ways of working. It's a new operating model to drive behaviors and cultural change that foster cross-functional collaborations, drawing accountability and providing greater cost transparencies. At the same time, promoting that blameless culture that we strongly believe in. And most importantly, Cloud FinOps serves as an enabling function to drive successful digital transformation program and enabling business agility, right? Essentially by breaking down the boundaries between the technology, finance, and business product team. Through this cross-functional team collaborations, technology leaders can partner with finance and business leaders to better understand the technology investment required to create a sustainable business outcomes. And by doing so, business priorities become more clear. And the fact is that the focus shifts to value creations, customer centricity, and innovations.
So Eric, who is joining us from Verizon today?
This is great. I have the honor to introduce our key distinguished guest, Ulaga, who is the Associate Director of Cloud Strategy, Governance, and Business Office at Verizon Global Technology Services Organizations. Through Ulaga leadership, he has successfully spearheaded, you know, strategic enterprise technology programs and deliver organization and spend efficiencies, driving automations, business agility. And it's an honor to have him to share his Cloud FinOps journey at Verizon and some of the key lessons learned with us today. I'd like to introduce Ulaga.
Thank you.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. You know, hello, Eric. Hello, Bruce. Hello, Chris. So first off, thank you for the opportunity to allow showcasing or highlighting Verizon's own Cloud FinOps journey. My name is Ulaga Subramanian, and as Eric did a great introduction, I run the Cloud Governance and Business Office for Verizon GTS, which is Global Technology Solutions, the IT division of Verizon. We collectively, a very diverse and talented team here in India, collectively, we drive three major charter areas, right? So one is Cloud FinOps as a service, which is everything around what we are going to talk about. And then the second is around cloud modernization as a service, which involves the entire migration journey of moving from point A to point B. And then thirdly, a cloud strategy as a service, which is more a forward-looking, outward-looking service, if you will. Collectively together, I would say that we, over the past 3 years, have done a lot of transformational changes, and we are in the process of doing additional transformation changes to ensure that GTS can effectively leverage the various different cloud services available, and to what Bruce and Eric had called out earlier, sort of harness the benefits that's coming out of this major transformational offering called the public cloud.
You know, one of the other things that we like to do on this show is ask individuals and our guests, what is the last thing you downloaded? So is there something that you've recently watched or listened to or downloaded that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, certainly. So last one I downloaded is back in India. There's a severe weather situation going on in my hometown and in my capital city of my state. So there were a couple of clips or videos, if you want to call that, that was sent over, sort of highlighting how the state was there. And I'd say that was the last download I had to do just to assure that everyone around was doing good. So, and they are doing good now. Thank you.
So Ulaga, where does Cloud FinOps fit within your cloud strategy? And why was it an early priority for your cloud migration?
So there's a twofold way of looking at this. So one of the Verizon as a company to start migrating to the public cloud or start adopting the public cloud at scale was a journey we started about 4 years back. So it involved us defining a multi-year strategy, and then it involved us defining a multi-year business case. And once that was in place, sort of start the execution part of it, where we went through this migration and modernization journey, if you will. So as we started that, Cloud FinOps, as it's defined now, right, was also in its infancy. So what I would say is we started evolving certain internal practices around migration, around managing the cloud spend, around providing visibility. And then as we saw the Cloud FinOps model evolve and get defined, we started overlaying it. And that is where we could see a tie-in in terms of where our multi-year strategy and roadmap was and what Cloud FinOps across its inform, operate, and optimize pillars is detailing and how we could bring that together. And why it was an early priority to answer your second part of our question was it was the right way, in our view, to really highlight the value and significance that the cloud spend can unleash and bring a unique value perspective to Verizon as a corporation around an investment that was being brought forward for us to get to the cloud and adopt the cloud.
Now, in that value perspective you're talking about, did you have some clear objectives or goals that you wanted to achieve during this process?
Yeah, so I would say it evolved. Originally, when the business case was created, the targets or KPIs was fundamentally focused around migrating and modernizing to the cloud, shutting down our data centers, rationalizing our asset stack, and modernizing our technology stack. Now, cloud cost itself was sort of the underpinning for us to enable all of that, but it was not an area where there was emphasis. This is back when we started in 2018. Then as we went through that, we started realizing, you know, as much as it's a journey of a particular application being going to the cloud, we started realizing, oh, now we'll have to double click on the cloud spend and really bring in the level of visibility we need to bring in, really understand where the spend is going, and really optionalize what can be done, is when we started looking at it from a cloud FinOps lens, if you will. Initially internally, as I stated earlier, then when the cloud FinOps operating model came in, we started overlaying that and trying to see how we could really look at it from that lens. So it was an evolution, Chris, to answer your question, year over year. And I think now we are at a stage where we can confidently claim that we have a very good visibility into how do we really leverage the cloud FinOps model for all the various different aspects of the cloud spend.
I'd like to follow up on that and understand a little bit more about some of the dynamics back in the early days. As you mentioned, you were getting into this when FinOps was really just at its infancy in the marketplace. So this is a practice that impacts many different functions in the business, not only IT, but finance and the business. Did this start as a cross-business initiative, or did it get its beginnings within one of the key functions of the business?
So from a cloud FinOps standpoint, it started as a core, let's say, IT function, with IT being the lead engine, if you will, driving this transformation. It started off as a core IT function. And then as we started understanding more and more of what are the capabilities that are being unleashed as a result of us adopting the public cloud, and what various other impact to the point that you called out earlier, Bruce, like a tie-in to, let's say, the EBITDA or an EPS level of impact, is when we expanded the horizon and where IT and, you know, CGBO, you know, my organization, started driving the partnership as a centralized engagement model where we become the shared bridge. And we wanted to link finance. We wanted to link the cloud consuming portfolios and business units that are benefiting from the spend. We also wanted to link the cloud service providers, because as all of you know, cloud service providers like GCP are an instrumental partner in us helping mature in that practice, right? And then we also brought in security, because again, a lot of the adoptions and maturity model and governance and automation is something that security can help us achieve. So that's how we evolve.
Uluga, that is awesome. I think you're really interested to hear more and learn more about that journey during that infancy. It sounds like the whole cloud governance team and then the FinOps capability as this infancy continue to evolve at Verizon. Can you also share and elaborate a little more about the team structure, what roles the cloud governance team play, and what are the sort of key areas that you provide back to the business units?
Yeah, certainly. The journey is always, as we'd indicated earlier, right? It's very collaborative for this to be successful, because the cloud spend and managing the cloud spend cannot really be a responsibility of one central organization. And fundamentally, we shifted from a data center environment to a cloud environment. You know, that was the largest, I would say, revelation. Based on that, the way we've structured is, you know, CGBO is similar to the industry of what would be called a cloud business office. And CGBO is part of a larger organization, which is in the industry an equivalent to a cloud center of excellence, right? A CCOE. Now, under the larger organization, so we have a platform side of the house, which runs and maintains all of the platforms. We have an engineering side of the house, which sort of enables and drives, develops a lot of services involved. And collectively as a team, where CGBO drives this is to really work with all the various different IT portfolios and their business units to really map the entire journey on how their cloud spend would evolve. So the fundamental underpinning we do on that, Eric, is what we call cloud budgets. So when I took this responsibility, one of the challenges my boss, who runs the CCOE, sort of put forward on the table is, how do we really ensure that the spend that every portfolio does from a cloud standpoint is really measurable, relatable to them? Again, coming in from a data center background, the mindset of how any application or any business unit looked at infrastructure spend per se was different because it was centrally managed. So now it's managed and owned by a developer, actually. It's gone that granular. So with that in mind, what the model that we use, Eric, is we have budgets. So we have budgets allocated at a portfolio level, and we allocate them on an annual basis, you know, on a yearly basis per se. And then we have a weekly scorecard-driven process where we publish the progression to that budget. And with the budget, we have various building blocks in it. Primarily, we look at what their allocation is, what their actuals are, you know, considering the time of the year, and based on that, what the outlook is. And when we look at it across these three blocks, we also bring in what is the demand that the portfolios need to run in the cloud, right? And the demand could be driven from migrations that, according to plan, is coming from, let's say, a non-cloud origin to a cloud destination, or it could be net new demand that they are bringing in to really unleash the benefits from the cloud. And we have a structured model in place that look at both, and then they validate that demand. And once that demand is approved at the right levels, we bring that in, roll it into the budget, and then we start tracking that. This is a cyclic basis, and we have various tiers of how we bring visibility into it, all the way up to our CIO and the finance side of the house. And every periodic time basis, we also do what's called a true-up. And we call that a forward-looking true-up, in the sense that, okay, based on your budget allocation, based on your run rate, based on the demand you've brought in, and the outlook we are looking at, here's how we would want to true up your budget. So we see a variance or a favorability, tune it accordingly, and then collectively we roll all that up together. And then that becomes the overall cloud spend for the organization. Ultimately, when it goes up to the CFO, you know, they're potentially looking at one number, right? Okay, how much was allocated? How much have you spent? What's the outlook like? So that's what we use as a building block model, if you will. And that team I was mentioning earlier, we have cloud modernization managers, cloud efficiency experts, and then we have cloud service provider engagement specialists. So together, they collectively work to run and manage the budget across all the various different portfolios, across all these different building blocks, working with finance and the cloud service providers in addition.
So Uluga, this is to me a really fascinating part of the transformation journey. And you described really well how many businesses have historically been operating with a centralized IT budget, running data center operations, and moving to this distributed P&L model, if you will, where the lines of business have received chargebacks for their specific consumption of cloud resources based upon actual consumed usage. Many of our listeners may be in an earlier stage of that journey. I was wondering if you can double click and share some of the keys for how Verizon approached the engagement between IT and finance to change that fundamental financial model from this centralized P&L and the critical steps you went through to help build this chargeback mechanism for your business.
The first part, what at least we'd recommend as guidance tip from a Verizon standpoint, is it is a learning, evolving journey. Cloud is essentially, in my view, the only technology development, right, or on the only paradigm shift, as I call it, that evolves itself every week. So what I tell people, if somebody comes and tells you that they are cloud experts, the first answer you can tell them is no. Then ask them the question, okay? And case in point, Bruce and Eric and Chris, GCP, for example, if you look at the various different capabilities that was recently unveiled, including Google Distributed Cloud and various other features, is a classic example, right? So that's the mindset that everybody needs to get in. It is an evolving, changing environment where everybody has to really learn and adapt, right? That's the first part. The second, at least what I use in a very lighter way, is the mission here is to make every stakeholder organization cloud native. Get them as close to what cloud is. Now, the definition of what is cloud native for a developer or for an application team will be different from finance's view of what is cloud native is. in that model, particularly on how we work with finance, we essentially, first off, since we are going from a capital-centric, you know, single cost center managed model to an OPEX-centric, multiple cost center spend model, the first acknowledgement we brought in with our finance partners was, hey, the way we look at this would have to be completely different. And the best way it works for you to get visibility is to ensure that you come in and understand how we've modeled the spend. And the finance partners were very excited. And then that involves today our finance partners having access to, on a daily basis or a near real-time basis, the spend that happens at an application level, at a service level, for every consuming service and application we have running in, let's say, two of our major cloud service providers. So that was the shift that really happened. Then that in turn brought in a realization, okay, for us to get cloud native from the finance world, we'll really need to look at an application service level spend. Then they started looking at it and they started coming in. The second part, what we highlighted, and I know Eric and Bruce, Google is one of the premier partners in the Cloud FinOps Foundation as a premier partner, and you would have seen access to it, is the complexity involved in really accurately projecting what the cloud spend should be. When we look at the 2021 Cloud FinOps survey, I believe it was about 36%, if I'm not mistaken, was the ability to accurately forecast what the cloud spend would be. So we brought that in as a revelation to finance because, Bruce, you may agree with this better from your CFO practice. The typical tendency is there's got to be a finite and definitive forecasting for anything OPEX is concerned for finance for valid reasons, right? Because it ties back to the earnings statement and everything else, right? So then we brought that nuance in. For cloud spend, what's the challenge there? And why would we have difficulties in accurately forecasting what the outlook could be? So then once that realization was there, is where we established this forward-looking true-up model with finance, which we do. We meet with finance on a monthly basis, but we do this true-up on a quarterly basis, where we layer all these in and then provide them an outlook on how the year is going to look, how the quarter is going to look, why, and what are the risk elements involved, and what do we expect as variability, and what are the reasons driving that variability. So that's how we brought that partnership model. And I would say today, from an evolution standpoint, we are probably between a walk and a run when it comes to that level of visibility. Now, there are certain other chargeback-related efforts we'll have to do, certain other automation-related efforts we'll have to do. So once we do that, I can confidently say we'll probably be in the run phase.
That's fascinating. Thank you for sharing those insights. One more follow-up question. So you spoke at some length about the changes in the forecasting process and how it is dramatically different in the cloud. Can you share with our listeners the people side of this as well? So what changed in terms of the responsibility and accountability model in the organization and how IT and finance now partner to drive an accurate forecast process?
Yeah, certainly. The underpinning, in my view, again, Bruce, is the sense of ownership. As we started going to the cloud and as we started incurring the spend and learning, what was very clear is we had to instill a sense of ownership right down to the developer level, as I was mentioning earlier, because you could have a developer come in and spin a particular asset to really drive a particular business outcome. But from an ROI standpoint, you know, the outcome may not benefit itself, because you're probably having that service running 24/7, you know, generating a lot of spend that was otherwise unplanned for. So that was the first underpinning, if you will. We did that. And the way we did that was we ensured that the backdrop was tailored in a way that it resonated with that particular stakeholder group that we were engaging with. In terms of finance, we had a scorecard and we had a breakdown by portfolio, by month, on what the spend was and what the outlook is going to be and any other reasonable commentary supporting that. So that was the finance view. For the development community, we have a scorecard by application that clearly says what is your efficiency level at and where are areas you'd really need to address, right? Here's red, here's yellow, here's green. Green means you're good. Yellow, you can act on right away. Red, let's start talking. So when we did that in those two dimensions, that sort of brought that sense of ownership and the awareness that clearly indicated, hey, as a developer or as an executive that's leading a development team, okay, this is my budget. And for me to stay within budget or to ensure that I can carve out a certain portion of my budget to support a new demand, here are efficiency levers I've got to really implement. Okay, great. There's an auto scaling recommendation this team has given. Let me go ahead and deploy it. Yep, done. So from yellow, now I've gone to green. Then from a finance standpoint, okay, now there's the portfolio level monthly budget view that has been shared. I can now be of confidence that five of the portfolios will definitely meet the budget and they will be able to deliver the outcomes they wanted to deliver within the allocated cloud spend. So that's how we evolved the model. And like what I stated earlier, the beauty of the cloud, or also the, you know, the uniqueness of the cloud, is that model has to evolve every week because, you know, there could be a new development, because there could be a new change, right? Both internally, externally. And that's that awareness we are looking to bring into everybody every time we talk to them. And that's that cloud native, the pivot to cloud nativeness, if I can use that term, that we are encouraging everybody to do. And it's a learning journey. And I think the partnership and our ability to have everybody be at that same level of, let's say, awareness, I think is critical for us to get to where we need to get to.
Ulrika, as you mentioned, the cloud continues to evolve. New capabilities are being developed and innovated on a very frequency basis. So can you share with us what are some of the key initiatives that you have partnered with Google Cloud to help you accelerate this digital transformation journey?
So with Google, we are in the early phase of adopting the services and also start consuming the key services, right? So which is, in a way, a very excellent phase we are in, because we can really develop this model end to end as we start scaling, leveraging GCP, right? So that's the first part. So under that, we are looking to sort of tap your Google FinOps Epics model, you know, that you have around the inform, optimize, and operate pillars of GCP. And essentially, there are a few white papers that the team has published, like getting started with FinOps and GCP and a few others. So that's what we are looking to leverage as the underpinning. And with any of the native services that's available, you know, native to GCP around the FinOps metrics that we'll be measuring, we are looking to leverage that. And collectively, way that we can provide visibility back to our business units and our portfolios on, hey, here's where we stand as far as our Google spend is concerned. And across the inform, optimize, and operate phases, here's the Google FinOps Epics model that's been laid out. And let's go ahead and look through those and really have a set of any sort of, you know, if it's enhancements in form of automation, if it's information in form of advanced reporting, or capitalizing the data that's already available within your ecosystem, your year as in GCP's ecosystem, and then ensure that collectively that Cloud FinOps visibility is there for every area of GCP that we're leveraging.
So all wonderful and great information that you've shared about how you've gotten here. If we look towards the future, maybe over the course of the next 3 to 5 years, what does successful digital transformation or cloud transformation look like to you?
So the way the industry is evolving is digital transformation is fueled by the need for more data and more insights, simplistically. And in order for us to really understand and be able to handle those data, handle those insights, is to really unlock new technology-driven use cases that in turn allow customer satisfaction. So that'll be a true measure for digital transformation. Now, as we get to do that, Chris, there will be a need for new services and new features. And there would be a demand for hyperscalability and to have cost-effective experimentations done and cost-effective implementations done. So that's where we see the key for successful digital transformation is to really leverage the services that GCP and other competing cloud service providers can bring in. So with that, we'll be in a position to really unlock those new technology-driven use cases. And using the data and insights, we'll be able to drive and deliver that required customer satisfaction and customer growth. And fundamentally, in cloud, where we think we will have to shift to be really successful is to pivot to the unit economics model, where we can clearly tie in every spend vector in the cloud to a particular business transaction or a business unit sale or a customer benefit realization. That, I think, is the true test. As digital transformation happens, how are we leveraging the cloud service providers? How are we benefiting from them? And what is the company really realizing as value in form of a unit economics tie-in? So that's our vision of how we are looking at this, with partnership from Google, with partnership from our internal portfolios, our strategy team, our architecture teams, and effectively be able to have that unit economics tie-in to really drive a successful digital transformation.
I always appreciate ending these podcasts with some sort of tip to leave the listeners with. So if you could leave one tip on your journey that individuals who are listening can take away and maybe implement in their own organization, what's your best tip for them?
So the best tip is ensure that there is awareness on what cloud brings in across all the various different spectrums that it can bring in. And the awareness will vary based on who you are and how are you really leveraging the cloud, but ensure that there's awareness at that level so that they can be really, really successful adopting the cloud and providing the benefit that cloud brings in for them.
Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for participating today. It's been truly a great and insightful conversation. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Chris.
And Bruce.
Thanks for having us. And Ugo, thank you so much for your participation and all your wonderful insights today.
Sure. And thank you again for allowing us, as in Verizon, a platform to really showcase our journey and for all the questions. So Eric, Bruce, and Chris, thank you very much. And we're looking forward to the partnership with Google Cloud to really set our Cloud FinOps roadmap and bring in the benefits we want to bring into our business and to our customers. Thank you again.
And of course, thanks to all of you who are listening. We have some really amazing assets to share with you all about FinOps. So navigate over to our website at thatdigitalshow.com. Find this episode, scroll down to the resource section, and download all of them for you to use, read them, share them with your friends. And of course, if you have questions, comments, or ideas for the show, connect with us throughout social media and join us next week as we explore another business innovation topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.